We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thanksgiving can be a recipe for heartburn and acid reflux. Fatty foods, alcohol, and overeating are the hallmarks of the holiday, and any of those can trigger an attack. And for those of us with gastroesophageal reflux disease, which is also known as GERD, avoiding these things can feel isolating, like you're not truly able to celebrate. But as Dr. John Gould will tell you, you're not alone. Dr. Gould is the chief of the Division of General Surgery, and he's the vice chair of surgical quality at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He sat down with Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the disease and how to keep it in check.
Well, GERD is a really common condition, first of all. About 1 out of 10 American adults suffers from symptoms. The most common symptom is heartburn, typically a burning sensation behind the breastbone brought on by eating spicy foods for a lot of folks. Some people can actually taste sour material that almost tastes like it once was in their stomach, which it was. There's a variety of other symptoms that people can suffer from, but those are the two most common.
Well, and what distinguishes it from your garden variety acid reflux? Because I think most of us have had like a moment or two where we get a little bit of that, but GERD seems to be distinctly different.
Right. Now, that's a great question. So gastroesophageal reflux is what you just described, and that's a distinct entity from the disease, which is pathologic acid reflux. So everybody has heartburn every now and then. It's just a part of life. We all get it. It's when it happens frequently to the point where it impacts your quality of life, where you develop esophageal damage actually from harmful reflux, that it becomes a disease process. And so that's the distinction, but it is exceedingly common to escalate from just, you know, run-of-the-mill heartburn every now and then to a bigger problem.
What are the issues that it can cause for you in kind of your everyday life?
Well, there's great statistics that show that people that suffer from reflux tend to be less productive at work. They are bothered by symptoms to the degree where their quality of life is impaired and it's just not enjoyable. It's one of those things that's so common that people kind of blow it off to a certain extent, but when you're suffering from it and there's no getting away from it, it really does kind of become an all-consuming issue for people. You know, lost work, productivity, all kinds of problems that come from this, lots of medical care that's needed. So it really can kind of escalate and spiral once it gets out of control.
If this is something that you're dealing with kind of on a regular basis, how would you go about getting diagnosed? How do you know when it's GERD?
Sure. What happens in reality is a lot of people are either diagnosed with it by their primary care doctor, or they might even self-diagnose. Nowadays, a lot of acid suppression medications are available over the counter. So many people will just self-medicate and they'll feel better and they'll just kind of run with that. If it's a more serious problem than that, there's a variety of testing that can be done to prove the diagnosis. One of the most common first tests that will be done is an upper endoscopy, where they'll actually stick a thin fiber optic scope into a patient's esophagus and take a look at and see if there's any damage. And there's many other tests beyond that, but that's kind of the first step for most folks.
Well, and you know, as you've mentioned, GERD is generally just this kind of minor annoyance to some, something that is detrimental to their quality of life, but also something that can be controlled with over-the-counter drugs. But then there are those who have very severe cases of GERD.
Right.
What happens when it's really bad?
Yeah. So people that have it real bad can actually, they can have terrible esophagitis, which can lead to swallowing problems. In fact, people can have such severe damage to their esophagus that they can develop a condition known as Barrett's esophagus, which is actually a precancerous condition. Esophageal adenocarcinoma is linked to long-term chronic gastroesophageal reflux disease. So that's kind of a worst-case scenario. All kinds of terrible things can happen, you know, in folks that have really struggled with it for a long time.
How does it end up becoming cancerous? What about GERD leads to cancer?
That's a great question, and we don't know the exact answer to that, but basically the reflux damages the lining of the esophagus, and the repeated process of being damaged and healing again and being damaged and healing again. GERD is a chronic condition. It doesn't go away in people that have it severely. Kind of that process leads the cells to undergo a process known as neoplasia or dysplasia, where the cells start to change into this precancerous lesion, which, again, in some folks can progress. So it's the chronicity and the severity of the disease that in some folks can lead to this.
So when we're talking about some of the advanced cases of GERD, we are looking at a situation where people would be getting surgery. What does that look like? What does that mean?
Yeah, so the fundamental problem in reflux is not that you make too much acid. It's that the valve at the end of your esophagus is no longer functioning appropriately. That's the basic construct. Basically, where surgery differs from medical therapy is that the goal of surgery is to reconstruct that valve. So medical therapy doesn't stop reflux from happening. It makes what you reflux have less acid in it. So it tends to help with the burning and things like that. But there's a point where when you're refluxing a lot, it's miserable regardless of the acid content. And so the goal of surgery is to rebuild that valve in a way where you no longer reflux at all. And there's a variety of different approaches. Most of them are minimally invasive, whether it's with a laparoscope through small incisions or sometimes even with an endoscope without incisions. But the goal of all of those interventions is to tighten that valve and stop reflux.
So there are plenty of basic lifestyle choices, habits that can contribute to GERD. One of them, as you mentioned earlier, is food. What are some of the foods that can cause this problem?
So anything that irritates an already irritated esophagus can do it. So typically acidic foods. If you're already suffering from reflux in your esophagus, the lining of it is irritated, you know, tomato sauce, orange juice, things like that can irritate the esophagus. Then there's another category of foods that lead to reflux, which can actually lead a weak lower esophageal sphincter to relax. And those are things like alcohol and things like that. And that can make GERD worse as well.
What are some of the other habits that if you're someone who their GERD is really acting up again, like might not be really controlled by those over-the-counter drugs as well as it could be, what are some of the other habits that you should maybe think about stopping?
Yeah, so I think when you're seriously suffering, there's a variety of steps that each person should take. Losing a little weight, if you have some weight to lose, is a great start. Being careful about what you eat. If there are specific foods that lead you to have heartburn, then avoiding those is a great idea. Not eating late at night, so you don't want a full stomach when you lay down because that can predispose you to having reflux over the night. Nighttime, not laying down immediately after you eat for the same reason. Stop smoking, those kinds of things. So there's a lot of lifestyle modifications that people should take on before they go down the path of escalating beyond medications to some of the surgical procedures that we do for reflux.
Well, Dr. John Gould, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
You bet. Thank you.
Dr. John Gould is the chief of the Division of General Surgery and the vice chair of surgical quality at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you can find more of our conversations about health and wellness at WUWM.com.